Thank you for joining us today for another podcast from Flushing Community Church. We are real people seeking to understand the truth revealed in God's Word. You can join us every Sunday at our place of gathering in Flushing, Michigan. Find out more by visiting flushingcommunity.org.
Probably made us a little bit uncomfortable as we've talked about various aspects of God, various aspects of our finances, various aspects of our resources, and how we choose to use them and utilize them for Him. So week one, we talked about see it. Remember, we talked about how it was important to see and understand God's plans for our finances. We looked at an important verse of Scripture from Matthew chapter 6, and we asked the question, do we see ourselves as an owner of our stuff, or do we see ourselves as a steward or a manager of our stuff? Do we see ourselves as everything that we have is ours to use as we see fit, or do we see ourselves as one who has been given everything we have by God's grace, that it essentially belongs to God, and we have to manage it carefully? That was the question of week number one. Last week we talked about give it. We looked at the principles that are underlying God's plan for our finances, His desire for building wealth in our lives, that it's not necessarily building the wealth that we might think. And the question we asked was, are we living in the abundance of our own possessions, in the excess that God has given us, with all of our technology, with all of our things, or are we trusting God to provide for us while using our wealth and our income to build riches in God's kingdom? Are we looking at building wealth in our kingdom? Do we see our identity and who we are as a part of all the stuff that we have in the abundance or the excess of our stuff? Or are we building our identity and who we see ourselves through building God's kingdom by being rich in Him? Well, we challenged you at the end of last week too to consider your finances this week. To use a couple of online resources potentially, even the bulletin insert gave you some ideas of how to even just kind of track your finances and just kind of discover for yourself where your stuff is going, how you're using your stuff. Because if you're like me, you get paid. Many of us who have a job, we're blessed with a job, we get paid. We get a check, and it seems like it's gone the minute it gets there, and we're left to wonder, where did that go? And your spouse is wondering, where did that go, if you're the one managing the money, right? And then it just always leads to wonderful blessings of conversation about money, and you all just end hugging and kissing and loving on each other because you're talking about money, and you're just so excited about money. Right? Anybody else live that life? That's the bait home right there. Not. All right? We're always left to wonder, where does that money go? So the challenge at the end of last week was take time. Consider how much you earn. Consider how much comes in. Consider where it goes. Where are you investing the highest percentage of your income? And how much then are you giving away according to God's principles? Well, today we come to the kind of the fork in the road. All right, we come to this pivotal day. This is an important day where we come to the end of this teaching and we ask ourselves a major question. Will we try it? Will we try to engage in what God's financial plan, God's wisdom for our finances is really all about? Are we willing to put our finances in God's hands? Andy Stanley is a pastor that you're going to hear a lot about over the course of my time because I think he has got a lot going on right. He pastors in Atlanta, Georgia, a small little church of 15,000 people there, I think. Mary and Cordy's daughter actually is one of those 15,000. Got some great ideas about how to help us manage our Christian walk. Andy Stanley taught us and taught me recently, not personally, but through a podcast, there are basically five different ways we can use our money. And I thought this was valuable for all of us to see as we get started in thinking about if we're willing to try it. Five ways that we can use our money. Number one, we can spend it. Most of us thought that might not even bear mention, right? We can spend our money. We can also repay it. In other words, we can use it to pay off debt that we've amassed by spending it another way. We can, thirdly, pay our taxes with it. That is an important part of being an American and doing our part. We can pay our taxes with it. And that's also, as we have come to find, a pretty significant chunk of what we earn quite often. We can also save it, and we can also give it. Now, you might find yourself in one of those five categories. You might see some other ways you can use it, but I think these are probably five pretty safe general ways we can talk about ways we can use our weekly or biweekly or monthly income, our retirement, whatever. We can spend it. We can repay it toward debt. We can pay our taxes with it. We can save it. And we can give it. Now, if we were to go over this list again and kind of relook at it, we would probably see that this is probably in line with even the priority of how we would use our money. Would you agree with me? When we get money, it's the first thing we think of. What can I buy with this? Right? How can I spend it and not let somebody else know that I got it in the first place? You know? How can I get what I've been wanting all this time? Right? We think quickly in this order, typically. This is our order of priorities in America. We want to spend it. Then we have to pay somebody off. And then we have to pay our taxes. And then if we have any left over, we'll save that. And if there's anything left over at that point, we'll give it away. We'll be generous. And you know, Americans are quite generous people. We are quite generous people. You are generous people. So I know that while this might be the priority list for many, I also know that many of us understand the importance of flipping this priority list around as well. Well, if we were to, again, kind of retitle these five things and ask who benefits from each one of these categories, we would probably start with spend it and say, who benefits from that? Me, right? Who benefits from repaying or paying your debt? Me, so someone doesn't come after me, right? I benefit from that. Who benefits from paying our taxes? America, maybe. China, sometimes, right? But we, okay, so it's kind of a me, and now it's a we. Fourthly, when we save it, who gets the benefit of that? Me. Kind of see where this is going? And then who gets to this last category? When we give it away, we finally can say something else. God and others. You know, maybe someone who's in need. We can give that away, and that's God and others. So here's our list. Me. Me. We. Me. And if there's anything left over at that point, God and others. Right? You know, I was also thinking about how these would work. You know, when we look at spending it, that's pretty much born out of a habit, isn't it? You get money and you just naturally want to spend it. It's a habit formed within you that you want to do that. You want to react that way. When it comes to repaying your debt, somebody, a credit card company, a clothing store, somebody has kind of offered a system to help you pay that back, and they get a bigger cut of it because they'll give you, you know, they'll allow us to pay them interest. They're so kind. They allow us to pay them more than we actually got out of it. It's wonderfully kind of them to do that and offer them that, right? So there's a system that all of us have to buy into that we have to pay that money back. There's also a system in place for us to pay our taxes, which many of us are bracing ourselves for right now. And every CPA is getting ready to go into the hole and not come out until the middle of April, right? There's a system in place for us to do that. And when we get to save it, there's usually a system in place for that. Your employer will offer you a 401k or a 403b, and then they'll lose it somehow. That's the system, right? But we plan our giving. We hold back a certain amount. There's always a system in place. If we don't have a system in place for saving, we won't do it, right? Then when we get to giving and we talk about systems, we want to mention that there could be a system in place that we want to use, and all of a sudden we get real squirmy, right? Also, we get really uncomfortable when we want to start talking about a system that could benefit our ability to give. Because if we don't have a system, just like in saving, we probably won't give enough. We probably won't employ God's plan of financial wisdom if we don't employ a system that helps us accomplish that. I'm just left to wonder, why is it that four out of these five ways that we can spend our money requires some kind of habit or system for us to get that done? But then all of a sudden, when we get to giving, we get real defensive. And I'm with you. I mean, even sharing these messages have been somewhat uncomfortable, because I don't want to make anyone here feel awkward. But I believe that it's so directly connected to our spiritual journey that we use the money and the resources and the things that God has blessed us with for Him, I believe it is a direct connection to God's work in our lives. Not that if you give more, God will bless you more. I am not a proponent at all of that kind of mentality that God wants us all to be rich, so we need to give, give, give. And you listen to guys on TV and women on TV, or other churches and other denominations talk about we need to be overly generous to the church and God's going to, I'll just open the floodgates financially and you'll be rich beyond your wildest dreams. That's not in here. But there is a plan of giving. There is a plan of faithfulness that we see through God's Word, through our finances, that will give us riches in God's kingdom. And I believe that's what we speak of today. I believe honestly that the way we prioritize our money, it represents an open or a closed door to God's work in our lives. If you prioritize your money the way we've just talked about, we'll spend it, repay it, pay our taxes, save it, and then maybe give it, then I believe that's a closed door for God to be able to get inside your heart and to do something in your life. But if we can reverse that priority, if we can look at God getting first, if we can look at giving as something that we love to do because of recognizing God's work in our lives, then I believe that's an open door. That's an open door for God to do something in all of us. So we're left to asking ourselves if we're interested in seeking God's blessings. If we're interested in seeing God work in our lives in miraculous ways, then it might actually involve a reordering of our finances, a reordering of our priority list to allow that to happen. God's Word speaks of this in the Old Testament. The book of Malachi is where we're going to spend some time today. If you're familiar with Malachi, then that's wonderful, but most of us might not be. It is the final book of the Old Testament. So if you open up about two-thirds of the way over, you'll probably get close to it. Or the easiest thing might be to find Matthew and turn left. All right? But let's spend some time in Malachi chapter 3, if you don't mind. Because Malachi is a prophet of God who comes to Israel, and he doesn't give them a bunch of warm, fuzzy feelings. As a matter of fact, Malachi spends the most of his time as a prophet in Israel speaking condemnation over what they were doing. The morale was incredibly low as a nation, and he was trying to help them see just what was going on. Teachers of the law were conceited, they were out for self, and they were misleading God's children, even in the temple worship. They were breaking God's covenant of marriage as a nation, and they were intermarrying with nations around them and getting all kinds of confusing messages about God's sovereignty. They weren't in a place in their history as a people where they were trusting God with the best of what they had. They were more interested in just giving God the leftovers. As a matter of fact, Malachi speaks to this. He says, you're bringing offerings. When offerings back then used to be an animal quite often, and it used to be that you would give your best animal. You would give your best grain offering. But these people were in a position where they were kind of given the one that got hit by something else, you know, hit in the road and kind of shuffled off to the side. Or maybe it was born crippled and they really didn't have any good use for it. That's what they were bringing to the offering table. That's what they were offering God. They were giving God something, but it wasn't their best at all. And he comes to this place where he's speaking about these truths in chapter 3 and starting in verse 7. He says these words, "Ever since the time of your forefathers have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty." This is an important phrase right here. We're going to talk about cause and effect for a little while this morning. This is a cause and effect moment where God says, listen, through His prophet Malachi, if you will turn to me, if you will come back to my decrees, if you'll come back to my ways, I will return the blessings back to you. But then you ask, how are we to return? We didn't even know we were lost. In other words, God's response, will a mere mortal, some translations say, rob God? Yet you rob me. Now that's a serious allegation. I don't know if you've ever had to go to somebody before and say, I think you stole something from me. You know, it seems like you were in my house and I had, you know, my new CD sitting there. And all of a sudden, you know, it's gone. I think maybe you stole it. You get to that point where you're ready to labor an accusation like that, you better be right, right? I mean, it takes a lot to have a conversation like that. And God, again, through the prophet Malachi, is wagering that kind of comment to the nation of Israel. You rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? They have no idea. His response, in tithes and offerings. In tithes and offerings. Now, back in ancient Israel, they had a plan of giving that was actually two different types of tithe. There was a kind of tithe that they would be giving regularly, on a regular basis, to keep the temple doors open, to help the priests have food, all these kind of things. It was a regular kind of giving, and it was based on a tenth of everything that had been earned. That's where the word tithe comes from. It was based on a regular, ongoing giving of a tenth of what God had blessed you with. But there was a second kind of tithe. Every year there would be some type of celebration in the nation of Israel, and at that celebration they were to bring another tithe, another 10% into the storehouse as a representation again of God's fullness and blessing in their life. And then every 3 years, that offering would then be dispersed to the poor among them. So it was a way of sharing their wealth. It was a way of giving to God and recognizing that God was in control of everything that they had. So when they heard the word tithe, they didn't hear just give regularly 10%. They were understanding that there was a 20% idea of giving. Now, I've just really offended most of you, and you're all looking for the door. Because we're having a party in 2 weeks. You didn't know where I was going with that. No, I'm kidding. These people are, even the regular tithe, they're bringing their crippled animals. They're bringing their wounded sheep. They're not giving God even that. Not alone saving up to take care of the poor. Saving up to do what God has asked them to do. Their tithes and offerings are being held back for themselves. You, Malachi says, are under a curse. The whole nation of you is under a curse because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be a flood in my house. Bring it all in so the storerooms are overflowing. Test me in this, God says. Test me in this and see if I will not throw open those floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. Test me in this. Now that might throw some of us off, because you might remember that about 400 years later there's going to be a man born named Jesus. And at the very beginning of his time, he's tempted. And in that temptation, he's calling out back to his adversary, the devil, and says, do not tempt the Lord God. Now, there's a complete difference in what Jesus is talking about. What Jesus is saying is, don't come up with some idea and then challenge God to bless that. What God is saying here is, you can test me. These are God's words saying, you know what? You don't believe that I'm going to do this for you? Try me. Try me and see if what I don't do will blow your minds away. These are God's words, not our words, sitting here looking at, okay, God, here's what I need you to do to prove that you're real. No, these are God's words saying, please trust me. Try me. Test me in these ways. Because all in this cause and effect, if we come back to Him, if we take time to honor Him, essentially, the cause and effect magistrate that's being spoken here in Malachi, if we come back and we honor Him, He says He will honor us. If we move in His direction, if we trust Him with our finances, then He'll move in our direction and He will open up the floodgates for all that we could ever hope and imagine. And if we prioritize our kingdom, our stuff, what we're building, if we prioritize our kingdom into His kingdom, then He will use His kingdom to bless our kingdom. He will take care of us in every way, shape, or form if we test Him, if we try Him. And that's why we've come to this place of calling this Try It Sunday. Because it's kind of this fork in the road, this moment in time where we're challenging everybody, everyone here, to try what God is teaching us, to try to put these things into practice. Now, many of us have probably experienced this principle of try it in different ways, right? You're raising kids. Many of you are parents. And you want to like strangle them half the time, right? Especially when they get to be teenagers. And you're like, what planet did you come from? Right? And then what you basically do is you say, okay, I'm done. I'm done trying to figure you out. I am completely done. And you go to friends and you go to family and say, I don't know what to do. And you kind of surrender your kids. What happens? God steps in. When we surrender ourselves and when we come to Him, God has a way to step in. Sometimes with our job, we have stress, we have pressure, we have all kinds of pressure with our workplace, if we're even blessed to have work right now. And we just come to this place where we're just lost and we don't even know what to do. There's all kinds of injustice, there's all kinds of uncertainty, all kinds of pressure. And we just surrender, we just say, okay, I can't deal with this anymore. And we take a step back, and what happens? That allows room for God to step in. Because He says, when you come to Me, when you honor Me, when you take a step toward Me and not a step toward your stuff, that's when I can work. That's when I can get involved. Some of you have had that same experience in your marriage. So much water under the bridge. So many years of confusion. The only way to save it is to throw your hands in the air and say, God, I don't know what to do. And trust God to step in and change us and challenge us and move us to His place. The question still sits on the table today. Will we stop and throw open the door of invitation for God to work in our lives, in the area of our finances, in the area of our stuff? Or will we continue to hold on tight to what we have? Malachi says that if we hold on tight to what we have, that we are robbing God. And I don't know how many of you are comfortable with robbing God. I'm not. I want to turn the priorities around and allow God to do something special in my life. And I want to see it happen in your life. And then I want to see it in our church community life. And I want to see it in our community's life. When we allow God to be first, that can happen. There we go. He would have, now I'm going to have to redo that for the website. Doggone it. All right. People would have like $100, right? And they would turn that not into like a $100 bill or a check and quietly put that in the temple treasury. They would turn that into copper coins. 24 copper coins would equal 1 cent. Can you imagine the process? You ever gone to, you know, the grocery store and people are turning in their change at that little machine and the clanky noise that's going on? You know what I'm talking about? That little coin exchange? Or you've been to the bank when somebody's doing that? That's really what's going on here at the temple treasury. People are just being as loud as they can with their money to prove to everybody else how rich they are. It's a show. Jesus is watching how these rich people are throwing large amounts of money into the temple treasury. But then, what caught His eye was a poor widow who came and put about 2 very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling His disciples together, guys, you got to come see this. Guys, come here. The coolest thing just happened right over there. And they're thinking, what? I didn't hear anything. I didn't hear anything. Did you hear something? What is He talking about? Something cool happened. He says these words, I tell you the truth. In other words, this is important stuff. This poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. Huh? What are you talking about? She gave more. She only put 2 little coins and I didn't hear a thing. That's not more than all those other people. He goes on, they gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty. She put in everything, all that she had to live on. See, it's not about the amount. It's not about the amount. Because we can come and we can write a check and put it in the offering boxes and it not really impact us. It's not about the amount. It's about the heart. This widow came to that moment in the temple where she had a decision to make. Do I participate or do I hold on to what I have so that I can eat? There was a rabbinic law, actually. There was an understanding that the very minimum offering you could give was 2 copper coins. That was the very bare minimum that anybody should come and offer anything to the temple treasury. And she had a choice to make. Do I give it or do I eat? She gave it. What do we see Christ doing? What do we see in Christ's observations here? 4 things. Christ sees all things. Christ sees all things. Public things, private things. Things on the outside of us, things deep in our heart. Secondly, Christ understands our situation, whether we are rich or whether we are poor. God understands. Thirdly, Christ perceives every motive, whether it's a motive of vanity, of self-building up, or ambition to become someone else, or even hypocrisy. Christ sees those motives. He also sees the motives of love, of humility, of charity, of zeal, of pleasing Him. God sees those motives more than He sees your amount. Fourthly, Christ realizes our own personal judgment. Whether we're doing this to talk to other people, to be prideful about what we're doing, to be out in front of everybody else, to impress those around us. You know, well, we know somebody's counting the offering today, so I'm going to give a little extra so they think I give a little extra all the time. You know, God understands, Christ sees the judgment that we put on ourselves and the motives behind all that we do. This story reminds me that it is not about the amount, it is about our heart. So the question is this, and what I need us all to understand is this, I am not trying to make you feel guilty into giving more to the church. That is not what we're here to do. I am not trying to put on some kind of guilt trip about your possessions. I am not trying to pressure you into becoming poor like this widow. Okay? I'm not trying to put these kind of pressures on you. However, I am hoping that all of us will see a few things. I'm hoping that all of us will see a deeper understanding of the connection between our financial habits, our financial decisions, into God's view and God's access to our lives, whether it's an open door for God to work in our lives or a closed door, is closely connected to this. Secondly, I hope that we all can see that giving is a regular act of worship. And for many of us, it can be a regular act of robbing. But it is a regular act of worship, coming before God and trusting Him. Third, that I hope that we all can see that by ignoring the opportunities that God gives us, that we're not only robbing God, but we are robbing ourselves of His blessing in our lives. What does that mean? Many of you might remember Randy and Marley Brown, who are here back in the fall. They travel in a motorhome. They have very little. They come to the churches that they're at for a free will offering. If it's $100, $200, or $1,000, they have no idea. They are trusting God with everything they have. Well, in spending some time with them that weekend, they got to know that somebody in our church was going on a trip. And on that Sunday morning, they went to the children of that family and said, "We would like to give you some extra spending money." Now, I'm not trying to build Randy and Marley up. I'm trying to help you see God's return and how we can look at this differently. The father of this family said, No. You don't have enough to be doing that. I mean, it was a sizable amount. Please take this and let your kids have some more fun at Disney. No. You don't understand. And Marley's response was this: "Are you going to rob me? Because I want to give your kids $20. God could quite easily give me $200. Are you telling me that you will stop me from giving so that I can't receive? Please, let me give. This is what I do." When we rob God, we are also robbing ourselves over what God can do in our lives. Last week we read a scripture from Romans 12. I want to conclude with it today as we kind of bring this right to the crux of the matter. Romans 12. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize that what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike your culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops a well-formed maturity in you. God is calling us today to a point and to a question of living for Him with everything. Now, hopefully when you came in today, you received a bulletin. And in that bulletin is an insert that had some notes about what we were talking about today. I would love for you just right now to go ahead and pull that out. I need everybody to pull that out today. About a half and a dozen of you came up to me before the service. You found me out and said, "Dude, what's up with the offering boxes? They're not in their normal spot. How am I supposed to do this thing when they're gone?" Right? Well, I did. I pulled a little trick today. Okay, this isn't a trick. That's a bad word. But I shifted this stuff around a little bit today. We are going to give at the end. Now, at the very bottom of your insert today, there's a little dotted line and a place for you to tear that off. I'd like for you right now to fold that off. Fold that right along that dotted line. Every one of us, if you don't mind. Now, if you're a guest here today, you're here for the first or second time, you probably won't come back. We don't talk about this stuff often, all right? I just want to rest assured, do not feel pressure to do this, all right? But I want everyone else who's a part of our church to tear this thing off, and I want you to prayerfully consider what it says. All right? There are some decisions that we need to make today. Are you willing to commit today to a couple of things? Are you willing to honor God and allow Him to honor you? Are you willing to take a step toward God today and allow Him to take a step towards you? That's the question. That's really the question, and I'd like for your response. So whether you're coming today and you want to quietly place an offering in our giving boxes today, or whether you want to come and put your commitment, that piece of paper that symbolizes your commitment of trusting God today, that's totally up to you. That's completely up to your family. And can I also say this with all sincerity, if you don't come up here today, nobody is judging you. Can you believe me when I say that? There is not an ounce of judging going on here, no more than when Jesus was just observing. Okay, there is not an ounce of that. But we're going to celebrate God's faithfulness, and I am hoping and believing that we can all trust Him enough to come to this place today and say, we're going to either A, begin trusting you. We're going to begin trusting you with this process. We're going to take some steps, and we're going to give to God in ways we've never given before. And I would encourage you, if that's you today, write out your plan. What's your strategy? Do you have a percentage in your mind? Do you have an amount in your mind? Do you have a frequency in your mind? What is your plan? Write that there. No names on this thing at all. Okay? What is your plan? Are you today eager to see what God is going to do? And you're going to test God. You're going to take Him at His word. You're going to claim Malachi 3, verse 7. Say, I'm going to test God to see what God does in this thing. Check that off. Now, if you're one who's been giving and you've seen God's hand of blessing before, you've got a spot to check off as well. That very last line. Check. I am just excited to continue this process. Now, on the very back of that, if you look on the back, it'll say, I still have a major question about this whole financial thing. You've answered some questions, or maybe you've opened up a whole door of a lot more questions. Here's my questions, Terry, I just still can't wrestle with. Write that down so that we can think about that for future discussions as a church. All right? We are coming now to a place in time, the fork in the road, where we're saying yes to God. We trust You. We're going to anchor ourselves in Your riches, or God, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to hold on just a little bit more. This is the fork. This is the decision. This is where we've come to. Will we trust God enough? Do you believe He is enough? Do you believe everything He has to offer you is enough? I believe He is. I believe you believe He is. Oh, let's come to His tables. Let's come to these podiums. Let's come to these boxes with that kind of trust and faith. Father God, it is my deep prayer that nothing that we have done or said here today has offended anybody unless it motivates them to understand your work in their life. God, I prayed at the beginning of this day that this would be a day where your voice is louder than my own, and I pray that that has happened. I would ask God now that as we receive this offering, as we sing this song, that your Spirit would motivate us and challenge us and nothing else. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. No judgment. Nobody really paying attention. We're going to sing this song of God's power and God's enoughness. It's not a word. I've just made it up. God's supreme power in our lives. And we're going to march our offerings and our commitments right in these boxes as we do it. Can we do that? Are we okay with that? I'm really freaking a lot of you out. I know that. But God is honored by your faithfulness. He is honored by your faithfulness. Let's worship Him today by what we do in these boxes. All right? Let's come. Let's sing. Let's participate. I was just overcome by the thought sitting here today that I believe this will be a day that we've driven the stake into the ground and we'll point back to this day as a day that's changed the direction we can head. We can look at this decision, the decisions that are represented in this box, and say these are decisions that could alter the course of history. Because God is ready to flow out the blessings in our lives. Now, it might not be financially. It might not be in the way we want it to all the time, but I believe God is going to be honored by what we've done here today. And it could alter the course of history. Alter the course of your life because of your faithfulness to this process. I believe it could alter the course of this church's direction. It's budget time. I mean, that's all I've been thinking about. Rich can tell you. It's all Rich thinks about. He's getting away for a month right now because I don't want to think about it anymore. But I believe that what you've done here today will give the blessings, will pave the way for God's blessings to fall on us, to fall on you. I believe that we're willing to test God at His Word. And I am anxious to see it happen. Are you? I'm anxious to see what God is going to do, the jobs He's going to bring you, the restoration of relationships He's going to bring to you, the wholeness He's going to give to us all, the mission and the power He's going to give us as a body because of our faithfulness with everything He has given to us. He is about ready to open up the floodgates. Are you excited? I want to see it happen. You might have noticed on your insert that this isn't a test me 1 week and see commitment. It's a test me and see for 11 Sundays. The insert talked about, let's test God until Easter Sunday. 11 Sundays away. Can we do that? Can we be faithful to God for a quarter of our year and say, God, we want to see your hand at work. And I believe when we come to Easter, we are going to know beyond a shadow of a doubt of God's faithfulness in every one of our lives. I'm testing Him. I'm holding Him to it. I'm holding Him to it that He will be a God of great faithfulness in our lives.
Thanks for spending these minutes with us at Flushing Community Church. If you would like to speak with someone regarding today's message, please contact our office at 810-732-0282 or visit flushingcommunity.org.